I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The standoff between the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk isn't ending anytime soon. The Niners want something in return for him. I figured after the NFL draft, they'd relent and let him go. It was the opposite. John Lynch says they're still taking calls. This feels like it could be the crumbling of the Niners. Not that they need to bend the knee to a disgruntled player, but holding a player hostage doesn't do a whole lot of good. It doesn't help winning. It just feels petty of Dende.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Please hang on. Please. This is an official interruption of your local entertainment transmission.
Stand by for action.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Eunus, Menus, Usness, Weenus, Uranus, Minus, Ourness, Happiness. And now I'd like to hear where your head is at.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It's another hour of Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage. It is a Monday morning, and we are overreacting to the NFL draft. We'll talk about the quarterbacks here in just a minute, and then we got to talk some Kansas City Royals and that game they played yesterday to complete a sweep of the Angels. Did exactly what we said they kind of had to do there as they get a day off today now and begin a pretty difficult week of baseball. So we'll talk about all of it. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, where it's patio season. Have a brew with a view on Delano's rooftop deck. Enjoy happy hour at WBC's East Patio or grab a pizza outside, shielded from the setting sun at WBC West. When you think patio, think Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. Got to say thanks to Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care, celebrating 60 years in Wichita, providing expert lawn care for a healthy lawn, tree and shrub care, and bedweed control since 1966. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care. It is lawn season right now. Everybody out there doing a lot of yard work this weekend, in between a little rain, some stormy weather, depending on where you live around the metro here. Paul Savage, looking at a video right now of Caden Wettjen getting drafted, live out of Iowa. He was playing golf while he got drafted, Paul. They called him. It's great video. Just hanging out. I think I might have to go that route.
That's pretty good.
By the way.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
If you're a high pick, if you're gonna get picked real high and everything and you're doing great, fine. Have your draft party, wait for the selection. But if you're a fringe guy, could you just sit around and wait, Paul?
Wouldn't do
like,
it.
What better? Like, get out there, play golf, just get your mind off of it for a minute. Answer the phone. He's like, hey, it's the Steelers. And then he watches himself get drafted. It's a pretty good video if you haven't seen it. But I think that's what I'd have to do. I know guys that have, like, gone fishing to kill the time. There were some guys kind of from my hometown area that were, you know, in the middle rounds to maybe not even draft. They just went fishing. Just said, I think K-State's had a couple guys like that over the years. Like, how could you sit around and wait? I went to Blake Bell's back in the day draft party when I first got here. It would have been about that time. And it was one of the more stressful things. So remember, he didn't go in the first day, and then it went into the second day, and then he got drafted real early on the third. But it was like, it was stressful. You just sit there and everyone's trying to have a good time. And every time somebody gets picked and it's not you, they're trying to like keep your hopes up. And you're like, oh, God, like, what are we doing here? So, yeah, they're out there playing golf while you get drafted. I thought that was pretty good stuff.
That's good stuff. That's the nature of the draft. That's sort of the human part of the draft. These young men, I mean, they've played football their entire life to get to this point, Jacob. That's why it's so important, obviously. But that's good stuff.
All right, Paul, let's talk about the quarterbacks.
All right.
6, 9, 10 quarterbacks taken. Fernando Mendoza is the obvious choice to the obvious answer to the test of which of these players has a chance to, you know, be a quarterback in this league for a long time. Then it gets a little murky. do you believe in Ty Simpson? I don't know. Carson Beck has the tremendous opportunity probably this year. And, you know, at his age, it's about as perfect a landing spot as you could have hoped for. People are kind of dogging Arizona for this pick, by the way. And listen, I don't think Carson Beck's going to do anything in the NFL. But people have been dogging Arizona for this pick. And I'm like, guys, like, let's be real here. It was a third round pick. Now, yes, granted, it's 65. That's pretty high draft capital. But it's the third round. It's a franchise that has no idea long term what it's going to do at quarterback. None. No clue. Right now, the answer is Jacoby Brissett, we think. If there's a chance to take a guy with the amount of experience and who's won as many college football games as, you know, as Carson Beck has, it's, why is that so bad to just say, let's just see what he's got? He's the next best quarterback in this draft. Who knows? Let's bring him in here and see what he's got. What's the worst case scenario? I suppose that you get the third round pick, but you're trying to solve the most important position in football with no obvious answers right now for Arizona. I don't hate that pick. I don't think it's going to work, but I think it's worthwhile to take the risk there and see if it might in the third. I don't have a problem with it.
Well, I know it surprised both you and I when that pick took place. I was totally expecting, somewhere between 1 and 15, 1 and 20 in the second round. That's where everybody was predicting. Nobody was predicting a first-round pick, and everybody was surprised. Now, here's the one thing that we got to remember. You know, he's 6'1". I mean, that's not exactly your prototype quarterback in the NFL. You want somebody a little taller. Mendoza's 6'4". So, you, in fact, 6'4 and some change, as a matter of fact. And that's kind of what you're looking at. Now, you've heard about the conspiracy theory that evidently there are some connections inside the front office with regards to Ty Simpson and his family knows somebody on the coaching staff and all that kind of stuff.
The Rams?
Yes. And, okay. And that's what I'm talking about, yeah. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I doubt it. It's too important. But then I look at this pick, and most people are going to take a first-round pick, not picking for the future, but picking for what we need. What do we need now? How can we get our first-round pick to serve us and be good? Is anybody expecting Ty Simpson to be a starter? I'm not. Are you, Jacob? I'll bet not. And so I think that, you know, the 15th pick to Ty Simpson, something's off. I'm not sure I'm putting my finger exactly on it, but something's off.
It was probably my least favorite pick of the draft because the Cardinals, Paul, are in a position where they have no idea what they're doing at quarterback. None. They're just trying to see maybe if they can, catch Carson Beck and he's good. They don't have to, you know, use a top three or four pick next year on quarterback.
Right.
Again, I don't think that's going to happen, but to use the third round pick on it, okay, that's all right.
No, Ty, I agree. Simpson, I don't have a
Ty
problem with
Simpson
that.
In at pick 13.
What?
To the Rams, who think they can win a Super Bowl next year.
What?
Why not take a player that can help you win a Super Bowl?
Bingo.
Next year?
Thank you for
so
that.
So Ty Simpson might be the heir apparent to Matthew Stafford. That's fine. We know that's not happening next year. The Rams think they can win a Super Bowl, Paul.
That's exactly.
Why are you looking now to, are you so enamored with Ty Simpson that you just can't? And look, the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes had Alex Smith. They're a playoff contender every year. They probably felt like they had a chance. They traded up to take Patrick Mahomes. So it's not different than that. Guess what? They were right about Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Well, who wasn't?
I don't think the Rams are going to be that right about Ty Simpson.
Hold on just a second. Now, let me. Okay, you know, go that ahead.
If obviously that's the answer to the test, they'll sit there and tell you, "Well, look at Mahomes. Like if Ty Simpson's the guy, then everyone. And of course, no matter how you come up with your great quarterback, you're a genius if you do it because great quarterbacks are the most important thing in this league. So maybe that's the case. But I don't think Ty Simpson's that kind of prospect. No. That's just me.
Got it.
And I'm sitting there like, man, you're the Rams. like you should be pushing all your eggs into the win next. You got Stafford for how many more years? One, maybe two. You got a team ready to win a Super Bowl right now. You go take a player that helps you win a Super Bowl right now. I don't know. I thought that was, I'm with you. I didn't like that pick at all.
Right.
At all.
And here's,
and now with, yeah, with the conspiracy theory stuff, who knows?
Yeah. And what has he done? And that's my question, because let's not forget, he only started 13 football games in his college career.
And that's always been a problem in the NFL. I can't think of a case where that's not a problem for a quarterback trying to come into the NFL.
That's what I think too. And by the way, you brought up Mahomes. Can I tell you when I knew Mahomes was going to be a great quarterback in the NFL? It was in college. Playing Texas Tech. I remember him dropping back and throwing a pass 75 yards in the air and dropping a dime on a receiver for a touchdown. 75 yards in the air. And I thought to myself, that looks like an NFL quarterback to me. That's when I knew Patrick Mahomes was going to be great. While he was in college, when he threw a pass and dropped a dime on a deal like that, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, everybody's got to see that. I mean, who's not going to see that?
And you ever thought that about Ty Simpson?
No, I'm not even sure I've seen Ty Simpson play, but for like 5 minutes.
Because he just played a little bit at Alabama. I'm not. It's not a knock on Ty Simpson for me, although I do think he's too inexperienced. And I get why And I think I told you on Friday, like, okay, that makes some sense for the Rams. And I do think it makes sense for the Rams if they really love Ty Simpson. But now that you hear this other stuff, you're like, boy, if they don't really like, if Sean McVay doesn't really love Ty Simpson, now it's like, I don't know about that. It's one of those, you know, like the Mansoor Delane and the Peter Woods picks for the Chiefs have kind of grown on me a little bit. The Ty Simpson's done the opposite. I'm like, man, that just, like, I guess because you look at the Mahomes model, but then you're like, Ty Simpson doesn't, he never looked like that in college, and he's got a chance to win a Super Bowl next year. Okay. I really wish I knew if Sean McVay loved that play, because if he doesn't, that's a huge mistake. Huge mistake. If he does, we're having a different conversation. If Sean McVay loves Ty Simpson, then I'm like, whatever, fine. Like, he's really good at his job. Then I'm okay with it. All right, let's come back. Let's talk some Royals, Paul, on the other side. Get it done over the weekend. It's next on Sports Daily.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. There's a slowdown on I-235 South heading on to K-96 East starting at 37th Street. Give yourself 5 extra minutes to move through the area. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather. Good morning. A mostly cloudy start to our Monday. Will turn mostly sunny, also breezy. Northwest winds 10 to 20 and gusty. All of that and a high of 75. Clouds return tonight. North winds and 45 is the low. Decreasing clouds but cool on Tuesday. High 66. We'll keep it in the 60s on Wednesday. Small chance of rain showing up on Thursday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Wherever you go, take us along. Listen to our live stream and never miss a thing. Listen in an Uber. Listen in your favorite restroom stall. Listen when you're making fudge. And you know how much you love fudge. Wherever you go, take us along. Listen to our live stream on the free iHeartRadio app.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right. right, welcome back in, everybody. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. I appreciate the golf that they provide us here. 36 holes, and after all that rain on, what was that, Saturday evening, that place is going to be beautiful right now. Get out to Crestview. Check out all the great golf, but it's more than golf. The Great Pool will open about a month from now. I know my family's counting down the days for that. They cannot wait to get out to that pool. They're there all summer long. Great restaurant, great bar, great tennis facility. It's where my wife is a lot of the time, just rocking and rolling tennis. Even with that baby belly, Paul, she's still out there rocking and rolling.
Yes.
And that's cool. We love it. Our family loves it. Give Crestview a call. Take a tour. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. Let's talk some baseball, Paul.
Let's do it.
The Royals did what we wanted them to do. Now, it was in dramatic fashion last night. They come all the way back after being down 6-0. Lane Thomas with the game-winning home run. Jack Caglione with the game-tying home run. Hey, McQuattraro, Jack Caglione can hit left-handed pitching. Can we please stop taking Jack Caglione out of the lineup? Please stop. You called the kid up too early. You did that because you think he's got a chance to be a star in this league. Stop sitting him down. Play him every day. Isaac Collins does not need to get at-bats at the expense of Jack Caglione. Goodness gracious. Gets the pinch hit home run to tie it. Lane Thomas, the game winning home run. And by the way, they would have lost. They were down one when he hit that home run. Just a fantastic, the kind of win, Paul. You don't like them to go that way, but boy, when they do, it can change everything.
Yeah.
The Royals are only 11-17. So I don't want to overreact to anything, but they did sweep the series. And here's what's wild, Paul. You're 11-17 right now. You're only 3.5 games back in the division.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
You're 3.5 games back in the division. That's it.
That's it.
They went into this deal 5.5. They made up 2 games since we last talked. They play Cleveland in a series starting next week, a week from today. They get 4 games against Cleveland, 3 against Detroit. 7 straight games. That opportunity to write it all is there. But what you can't do is screw it up with a really tough West Coast road trip this week.
Mm-hmm.
The Royals got the A's. They've got the Mariners this week. 2 good teams. The A's have been better than expected. You know, you got to get through this. We got to split these games, I think, is a fine goal here. Split these games. If you can get to 3-3 over these 6, then you come back home for just a massive early season week against Cleveland and Detroit. But they're playing better, Paul. Finally playing better.
It's amazing to me because I think to myself, where was I this time last week? I mean, we were sitting on, I mean, the Royals are sitting there on 7 wins. They're one of the worst teams in the NFL. And by the way, isn't it interesting? When you look at today's standings, there's only 2 teams that have not hit double digits on the win column. That'd be Philadelphia and that'd be New York Mets. One of those teams is the second highest payroll in all of baseball.
Philly's probably top 6.
And Philly is right up there. You're exactly right. And there's a little bit of satisfaction in that. But that without, you know, I don't want to wallow in anybody else's misery. I don't want to do that. But I look at Kansas City, and once you start getting this lineup doing what it's supposed to do, Bobby Witt, you know, 2 hits, Pascatino, a hit at 3 bats and a home run. I mean, this team is and Salvi, you know,
Salvi had a good weekend.
Yeah, 5 at bats, 1 hit, 1 RBI. You need that stuff. These are the guys that when they start paying off and they start playing and they start producing the way we know they're capable of doing, this is a different baseball team. This team this weekend was a different baseball team than it has been over the course of the last few weeks. Different team.
It has been. You went from one of the absolute worst offenses in baseball last Monday, April 20th. That night, and these aren't all wins and losses. I'm just going to give you their run totals. 5, 6, 6, 6, 12, 11. The offense has woken up now. So, boom. The offense is awake, clearly.
Those are playoff numbers, my friend. Go ahead.
When everybody's going at the same time, mm-hmm. this ought to be one of the more dynamic and dangerous offenses in baseball. That is, if we can, you know, have the best players play every day. That'd be one way. If I were the manager, Paul, I'd probably play my best players every day. That's just me. I'm crazy.
Right.
But they've got a chance to be really, really good. Uh-huh. And they haven't been for a long time, not just this year. They've underachieved as an offense since the middle part of 2024 when they made the postseason. Mm-hmm. So maybe we're seeing some signs there. Now you've got to have it kind of all come together a little bit.
Right.
The bullpen's going to be a problem. I don't know that there is a short-term answer to the woes of the bullpen. They got to get healthy is probably the short-term answer.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Schreiber being bad and Estevez being hurt has really, really hurt this team. So we'll see. Urcig has been kind of settling back into that closer's role nicely, but they got to be able to get him the ball. The starting pitching will be probably the biggest difference over the next couple of weeks we see, assuming the offense, you know, stays awake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Assuming the offense stays awake, probably we're going to sit here and say, okay, it's going to be this starting pitching, which for a few years now has been the thing you felt the best about. But Bubic, you know, had a rocky outing his last time. Waka had a rocky outing his last time. Cameron had a rocky outing his last time. Cole Reagans was fantastic in his last start over the weekend, which is incredible news. But Seth Lugo wasn't very good yesterday at all. So that's where I think we'll look at this week. If they can get those starters locked back in a little bit, it looks like the offense has woken up. But there is a danger out there, I think, Paul, of like just when you get the offense going, the pitching starts to fall apart. You know, so the starting pitching, because I think the bullpen's going to be a problem for a little while. But the starting pitching shouldn't be. You know, do they hold up? Do they replicate last year? I told you at the beginning of the season, I didn't think they were going to be able to do that, but I also thought the offense was going to be a lot better. Mm-hmm. It hadn't been until last week, and last week the offense was great. Had a great week. I mean, they score. I bet you, and I don't have it in front of me, I'd be surprised if there were any offenses in baseball over the course of the games they played last week that collectively scored more runs than the Royals mm-hmm. did. They'll at least be way up there.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's a streaky offense, all of those things. But now's the time to streak. These next 2 weeks are huge for a team that put themselves in such a big hole to start it.
Right.
And that is still 6 games under 500. That's what's wild. Like, I want to paint this nice picture for everybody. They're 6 games below 500. Even if they wanted to get to 500 this year, we'd tell you, well, they got to finish the year 6 games above 500. To do that, which is what in baseball? What is 6 games over 500? 84 wins?
83? No.
84 wins, yeah, I think, 84. is 6 games over 500. Okay? So that means to get to 6 games over 500, to get to 84 wins, they got to be 12 games over 500 the rest of the way. This is the kind of thing I think that's important to do over the stretch here to keep things in a good perspective. In order for the Royals to play that level of baseball, we're going to have to see a lot more consistency out of this team, Paul, because that's what they face now. Mm-hmm. And I don't think 84 wins, by the way, is getting you into the playoffs. So really it's got to be, you know, 86, 88, something like that. This team's going to have to be really good now the rest of the way if they're going to get into this thing.
Right.
Unless the AL Central for some reason is bad and you can have a, you know, 83, 84 win total get you there, it's almost certainly not going to be the case. You're going to have to finish the season as one of the better teams in baseball after the hole they put themselves in April. Mm-hmm. And we're not even through April yet. So, you know, we'll see. But as of today on April 27th.
But you're exactly right when you say that that series with Detroit, that series with Cleveland, both those coming up in the next week or so. Those are going to be – those are kind of like – really, I hate to say this, this early in the season. We're still in April, for goodness sakes. But I hate to say it, but boy, I'll tell you, those are so important. Those are really important to this baseball team. And if, let's say in September, we're on the radio together again and when we're talking about the Royals and we go, Jacob, you remember that conversation we had last April when the Royals swept the Angels in late April? And how important was that? And I know what you're going to say. That made the season. If this team goes on to success, figures things out, offense stays clicking, the bullpen hangs in, starting pitching hangs in, and gets better, and you have this kind of offense, it's going to be a good baseball team. And it's all going to come back to this series we just saw. How big was this series? This could be one of the key series of, say, the last few years for Kansas City baseball, couldn't it? Could be.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's always hard to think about and talk about baseball that way, especially in May.
But where were the Royals? But, where were they before this series?
But you have to start somewhere. And yeah, the problem for them is going to be, we look at four games against Cleveland coming up, and it's barely May, and you're like, man, you gotta do well in that series. Like, they're so lucky to only be 3.5 games out right now.
Right.
And the other, look, the other side of this is to say, forget everything else that's happened.
Yeah.
Right. Just forget all of it. You start from zero today and you're 3.5 games back. Okay. That's not that big a deal. Right. Everybody be like, all right, that's fine. There's still, you know, God, 130 games to play this year. Okay, yeah, no piece of cake. 130 games to make up 3.5 games. And so that's where you take the optimistic side if you're a Royals fan. If you're trying to, like, when you think about it in the bigger terms of, yeah, they're only 3.5 games back. Let me start that over. If you think of it as they're only 3.5 games back, yeah, they got a great chance to do this thing. And they do. But when you think about it as they were 6 games under 500 in April, and if we look at the history of where teams need to be to make the playoffs, that means they got to win a ton of games down the stretch to make the playoffs. The problem is, and that's probably the more correct way to look at it, because you have to just go back and think about, okay, there's more than just the Royals at play here. Somebody's going to finish with a bunch of wins. You know, like, the chances that you could play as poorly as they have and still only be 3.5 games under 500 are almost a zero. If they did this exact same thing in May, let's say they end April, Paul, 3.5 games under 500. If they play the exact same level of baseball in May, they're going to be a whole lot more than 3.5 games out of first place in the division. They're going to be more than 7 games out of first place
in the
division.
That's exactly right. No, you're right.
Somebody's going to win a bunch of games, right? Somebody in the division's going to get hot and take off of this thing. So, Because these teams, you know, Cleveland, Detroit, Kansas City are all talented rosters. Somebody's going to go win the games. Optimistic take, why not the Royals? And look, I'm good with that. I'm an optimist, especially when it comes to baseball. But the realistic take is now they have to go be so much better than what they were to get where they ultimately need to be. Can they do that? Good signs from the offense, not just in a series against the Angels, but in 2 back-to-back series. They scored a ton of runs. They've got to get their starting pitching settled back in a little bit, because if that, you know, you combine those 2 things, it'll cover up the deficiencies that I don't think they can make up for right now in the bullpen. They should have been able to hit better. They should be able to get more starting pitching than they have probably over the last week. Those 2 things, I think they're talented enough to do. You look at the bullpen, Paul. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, they should be a lot better in the back end of the bullpen, because I don't think that's true. I'm fine with Ursig. I'm fine with Daniel Lynch, and that ends there. Everybody else is just like, okay,
like
you guys, going to be a little dicey. Right. What does that mean? It means have more than a 1-run lead after the 7th inning if you can. because hold on to your butts when the bullpen has to get in there.
Right. Boy, how would you like to be on Sports Talk Radio in Los Angeles and your team happens to be the Angels and you're sitting there, well, after that three games series in Kansas City, look at what we've done. I mean, we went from a team that was almost 500 and now we're five games back. And
yeah, because you have there's nobody great in the American League.
Just doesn't
right
seem to
now,
be.
Maybe the Yankees.
Well,
the Yankees,
and even that, I mean, they're okay, but they're not. They're not.
They're eight games over 500.
All right.
It's the second or third best run differential in all of baseball.
All right,
they're really good right now. Okay, that doesn't affect the Royals in any way. Whatever the Yankees do, who cares, right? Unless they're playing them, because if the Yankees win that division, the Royals aren't competing with them for a wild card anyway, so who cares? You look all across the American League, outside of the Yankees, Paul, everybody either has a negative run differential or you're looking at Texas's 8 runs
right
positive, Seattle's 6 runs positive, the Tigers are 10.
Right.
Like nobody appears to be very good in the American League right now. The best timing ever for the Royals to have this phenomenon. Best timing ever for the Royals.
Right.
It has allowed them to play so poorly in April and still sit there 6 games under 500 today and say, we're only 3.5 games back. And we're about to play Cleveland for 4 games. That's insane.
It is.
I mean, it is. What a weird American League so far through the first month of the
right.
season.
How lucky are you to be a member of the American League in a league
you're lucky.
It's so mediocre. It's mediocre that you can't even put a picture on it, because this kind of league, you can be mediocre yourself and get into the playoffs.
Not. I don't think that'll be the case at the end, though.
Well, somebody's going to step.
I don't think mediocrity is going to carry through 162.
No, it won't. There's going to be three. In fact, there's going to be 3 or 4 teams that are spread out across the whole thing. That's going to end up, you know, finding their feet and getting into an understanding.
Now, can the Royals be one of those teams?
That is a good question.
I think that they can.
That's a good. That is the question.
But again, I think most Royals fans would tell you,
right.
I mean, I think Royals fans are trying to be realistic with this and say, God, the chances are so unlikely after that kind of start.
Well, I see that.
But would also say, this is a really talented roster, though.
That's right.
So, like, you got two competing things. Like, you haven't seen them play well enough for long enough. But at the same time, like, you're 3.5 games back. Okay, this team's good enough to make up a 3.5 game deficit. They only have 5 months to do it. They just got to play better consistently, and we'll see. They get the day off today. Kind of wish they didn't have one. It's one of those where you're like, man, boy, I wish they didn't have the day off. They just scored, you know, 7-8 runs a game for a week. Don't take the day off now, but they got to get out west and play. The A's and the Mariners, both 500-ish teams sitting there.
Not bad.
Look around the rest of the sports world. Maybe Paul has NBA playoff thoughts. I was distracted by baseball in the draft. We'll come back and talk about it and others next.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze. We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. Watch for a brief delay on I-235 South heading on to K-96 East. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Good morning. A mostly cloudy start to our Monday. Will turn mostly sunny, also breezy. Northwest winds 10 to 20 and gusty. All of that in a high of 75. Clouds return tonight. North winds and 45 is the low. Decreasing clouds but cool on Tuesday. High 66. We'll keep it in the 60s on Wednesday. Small chance of rain showing up on Thursday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Right now, the Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
I don't think Joker wins another MVP. And it's not because he's not deserving. He's just not going to win it. And Wemby is on the way. Because I would be surprised if Wemby is not the favorite next year to win the MVP. Felt like it might be a little too early this year. He did miss games earlier in the season. He's wonderful to watch. We're lucky to be treated to some... These players, young players, now Joker's not young, but he's still doing things that nobody's ever done. Like when you hear that in any sport, when you go, well, nobody's ever done that. Okay, you got my attention. And I understand this because we do want a new topic. You know, the NBA writers are no different than me or you as a fan where you go, you know, we need a new story here.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
We have an app and we decided to spell it really weird. A-U-D-A-C-Y. That's Odyssey. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it right now. Download it right now. It's free.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. This is another Sports Daily here. Jake Ballbrock, Paul Savage in for TJ. Glad to have Paul in this week. Talking a lot of NFL draft, talking Kansas City Royals here. We are happy to have you with us. If you're on your way to work and you got to hop out, want to keep listening to Sports Daily, even after you park the car with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can. Just download the app, visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH. You can listen to the show. You can leave us voice messages while you're listening to the show. Anytime you are listening to the show, those go in. Max can play those out. Paul, anything else tickling your fancy here? On the sports weekend, NBA playoffs at all?
Yeah, a little bit.
Not to lock in yet. I'm sorry. I know I said I'd try.
Well,
just can't do it. Watch the draft. Watch baseball as I can. Just can't do it yet.
Well, NBA basketball playoffs is when it's serious. I mean, you got.
I know.
It's teams trying.
I don't apologize for the lack of attention I pay to the NBA anymore in the regular season. College basketball takes all the attention away.
Well,
I thought I might do it this round. I think it'll be next round. Mm-hmm. I think once now we're clear of the draft, we'll come in. And like, once you tell me I'm going to see San Antonio and Oklahoma City in a series, you got me at that.
That's still a little ways away. But with that,
I know.
But with that being said,
you tell me, you give me San Antonio, Denver in a series. Like, I'm in for that.
Well, that's not going to happen.
If Denver gets there, Minnesota's going to beat them. But isn't Minnesota Anthony Edwards hurt?
Yeah.
Like, what in the world's going on there?
Well, there's so many things going on that by the way, I'm not going to defend the NBA where, you know, there's accusations that all the time that, well, the NBA, I mean, they don't even try. Most of the time it's, you know, they're not even trying during the regular season. And then all of a sudden you get into the playoffs, things get serious. There's effort. There's efforts every time the ball goes up or down the court. There is effort. But it's the playoffs. And that's why I really enjoy the playoffs. Now, for me, the San Antonio Spurs have kind of been the spur of this. Why am I watching? Why am I paying attention? I'm finding the Spurs and Wemby. Victor, help me out. Victor
Wembanyama.
Wembanyama. And that's the one thing that I find fascinating. I've watched this kid mature. I have watched him literally grow up from the first year he was in, and I'm finding that fascinating. Obviously, the Thunder and the Suns, not much of a bracket. Thunder up 3-0, but there's some games that I'm finding fascinating. There's some series I'm finding fascinating. One of those, believe it or not, I never in my life dreamed I would say, I'm following the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron and that crew, I'm following that series. And with the Lakers up 3-1 over the Rockets, who would have ever dreamt? Now, let's be fair, and I'm going to point out that the first couple of games, Durant did not play for the Rockets, and that's a different team without Durant. But the Lakers are also without Luka and without
Doncic and Reeves.
Doncic and Reeves. That's who it is. So you know that's a different basketball team as well. But the fact is that the Lakers lead this series 3-1, and I think it's pretty darn fascinating. I expected the Rockets to give more of a fight, but you know they've lost Durant for a couple games. But with that being said, I'm finding the Western Conference pretty fascinating. There's some interesting things I've got my eyes on. All four of the Western Conference playoff games, I'm kind of following. Thunder and the Suns, the Lakers and the Rockets,
you for it, Paul.
Nuggets,
I'm trusting you for
Nuggets,
it. And, Royals are off to now. You know what? The Rangers are playing. I'm gonna be watching the Rangers.
I wouldn't blame you on that because let's get to the next round.
Give me a minute here. Let me get it into these series where, you know, I'm not there.
Let's get into semifinals.
What I am there for though is college basketball, Paul.
Yep. Semifinals
and Tyron Stokes maybe will give his decision today on where he's going to play college basketball. Number one freshman in the country has, I don't remember one ever taking this long. I really don't. It's like, this is transfer portal season, not high school players coming into college season. So we'll find out, I think, today. At least that's what the rumor is out there. Nobody knows. Like, everyone's like, I don't know, man. Like, what's taking this so long? It sounds like it's either Kansas or Kentucky. There's all the drama about, you know, he's a Nike athlete and Kentucky's a Nike school, but Trey Eslada, our KU insider, has told us he heard that visit to Kentucky went really poorly. But here they are, maybe still in the mix. Oregon initially had been mentioned. I lose track of time on all this. I think it was early last week as maybe still in the mix. There's not much smoke there anymore. So it sounds like it'll either be Kansas or Kentucky. Both fan bases want him. I don't think anybody has a real expectation at this point, even like the insiders. But the rumor is we could get a decision today. Some point today, Tyron Stokes could make his call.
Question.
Yes, Paul.
Question. So how does a visit to Kentucky go poorly? Is it that the food wasn't very good at the dorm? Or does it mean that the main
money's going to be good?
Or the money was not what he was expecting?
No, well, the money's going to be good at Kentucky. They haven't really done much with it.
How does a visit
to Kentucky? I don't know.
Go
and
bad?
Well, it's a little bit. You got to meet with coaches. Here's what worries me about this.
All right.
And again, I've never talked to Tyron Stokes. I don't know Tyron Stokes.
Gotcha.
I think there's this now expectation because we had so many just unbelievable freshmen last year that Tyron Stokes is going to come in and be, I don't know, he doesn't really compare to Darren Peterson, different position. Maybe he comes in and he's A.J. DeBonta. Like, guys, I don't think he's going to be that kind of player. I don't think he was expected to be that kind of prospect. But that's the expectations he's carrying with them. And now, as this thing has dragged out, I think that gets even worse for him. The expectations are going to be even higher because you've got two of the best, if not the two best, fan bases. They kind of got all their eggs now in this Tyron Stokes basket. Wherever he chooses, the likelihood to me that he meets expectations is low.
I see where you're going. I see.
That's like all the best players in the portal have found homes because Kansas and Kentucky seem to be waiting and utilizing all their resources to try to get Stokes. And whatever the reason is, if he's driving up the price, which he's doing a good job of, I suppose, that's a big ask for a freshman, Paul, to come in with that. I mean, it was a big ask for Darren Peterson, who was KU through and through. As KU is a player like him with his, you know, with his one and done, you know, path could be. Granted, he got hurt, but people didn't like that. And he wasn't playing because he was hurt. If Stokes doesn't meet expectations and he doesn't appear to be like all rock chalk forever and everything that Darren Peterson was. How do you think fans are going to treat that? Mm-hmm. How do you think Kentucky or Kansas fans are going to like it? Mm-hmm. Like, the kid can't make up his mind or won't make up his mind. That, to me, is a little bit of a red flag on April 27th before the season starts for a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about it. I'm telling you, I don't... Like, at this point, you want Kansas to get him because there's not a lot of, you know, there's not, the alternative is not as good as it could have been earlier in this process. So you want him to get him. I'm just having a hard time looking at it and saying, well, that's going to be a top team in the Big 12 next year.
Well, you and I,
Tyron Stokes on what, with what they've got right now.
Yeah, you and I both know what's going on. Somewhere in his ear is an advisor or an agent or what, you know, whatever you call, who's saying, listen, we can milk this. We can get another 500,000. We can get another maybe another million out of this school or that school or whatever the plan is. But it's somebody in his ear, because no kid likes to have this going on. Nobody wants to be that guy, the last guy. I don't think they do, but maybe they do. But somebody is in his ear. You and I both know that that's just about as right as rain in this particular situation. We don't know, but I think it'll come out. It's somebody, and it's probably an investment guy, it's an agent, or it's a family advisor, or a friend of the family. Who knows? But they're playing.
Or it's him.
It could be him.
Like, it doesn't really matter at this point. Well, whoever it is, they're doing a good job of it because he's going to make more money than he would have, you know, whatever, right? So,
don't know that could be.
The problem to me is. Is he that kind of player?
Ah.
Right? Is he the kind of prospect that can come into either of these teams? Again, these rich, historied, great, amazing teams that have underachieved by their own standards for a few years. Is he the kind of player? Is he good enough to come in and be the savior he's about to get paid to be? I don't know that I think that's very likely. Kansas has, I'm glad, look, they signed another center that we like, that most like, that had been linked to them out of Charleston for a long time. And great. Kansas's front court looks like it's going to be pretty good, right? Like they may have with Mbia.
Okay.
And they may have a good front court.
I'll buy it.
But what else do they have? You know, they haven't blown us away through the portal. Momcilovic is still out there. Graves is still out there. They don't need that. You heard Tunde Yesufu. Remember Tunde Yesufu, your Baylor Bear. That was really good last year. There's hope for me, and there's other players out there that Phil needs for Kansas. Like, I'd rather take the resources at this point and throw them at a couple of these guys that are still out there if you can. If it's going to be the same amount of money, which I don't have the information on. But for instance, if you can give me a combination of two of any of those guys I mentioned or Stokes at this point, I'm going to take those two guys because I don't know if Kansas has enough otherwise to just plop this freshman in there and be good enough to do very much. Right? And every day that this stretches out, I feel more and more that way.
Well,
I'm worried about this for Kansas. I'm worried about it. You got Dawes and Blyden, Christian Reeves, who we just mentioned. I don't know, man.
Well, this has got to be driving Bill Self crazy. Here you're already in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, and you're sitting here waiting on kids like this to decide what you're going to do. Is it enough money? This is such a different game. It blows my mind that a guy like Bill Self sits there and takes it. You think Bill Self probably has enough money at this point that he has to worry about
paycheck? It's not a knock on Stokes. I think when this process all started, Stokes appeared to be coming to Kansas and everybody really liked the player and this all would have been fine. It's the fact that this keeps dragging out where I'm like, is this worth all this trouble?
I'm wondering.
You know, six, 7 months ago, everyone thought Stokes was going to be a Jayhawk. And so to go into the offseason, big picture, thinking Stokes is going to be a Jayhawk and building that way, I think that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it's April 27th and he's still not a Jayhawk.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
That's the problem now. You haven't had time to come up with any sort of backup plan. Now, maybe they have one. Maybe they're talking to these players and they are treating this truly in a business sense. And they're talking to three or four of them. They're saying, here's the deal. I'm going to be real honest with you.
Uh-huh. Well, I might as well.
We're going to know very soon. You'll have the opportunity to play at Kansas and make more money than anywhere else. But we're still waiting on something.
Well,
can you wait?
I might as well
and
ask.
If you're one of those players, maybe you can wait.
All right. I'm going to ask the question. Does he become OJ Hawk? Jacob Albrock. Does he become a Jayhawk? Yes or no?
So we could get this decision today. Here's prediction time. And again, I don't. This is all grain of salt stuff. I think if he was going to be a Jayhawk, he'd already be a Jayhawk.
Wow.
I think he's going to surprise the world and sign with Kentucky.
There you go. Even though the visit went poorly.
Because the bag is going to be so big through Nike to do it. I think the big shock today is he's Kentucky. We'll see.
All right.
Again, that's based on nothing other than trying to read between the lines. I haven't talked to anybody about this other than Trias when he comes in. And he told us that visit to Kentucky was terrible is what he's heard.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll find out today. That's the big news. If it happens today like it is reported to, we'll have plenty to talk about with it tomorrow. That's for sure. All right. We're coming back. Don't go away.
Kansas Fan Headquarters, 97.5 and 1240 KFH Wichita, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, and Odyssey Sports Station.
The KFH Studios, powered by Devon James Injury Lawyers. Call 888-8888.
That's 888-8888.
Whoa. Okay, this one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do one.
Wait. The T-Mobile one says families saved over $3,700 versus the other big guys in the past 5 years. And their experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Hang on, let me see that. And a 5-year price guarantee? Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or?
I'm thinking high five.
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. Switch now at T-Mobile.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 among accounts with 3+ voice lines compared to AT&T and Verizon. Excluding discounts, credits, and optional charges. See harrisx.com/T-Mobile. Price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Exclusions like taxes and fees apply. See T-Mobile.com.
At Liberty Mutual, we love helping people with things like customizing car insurance, just like how we customize a song for you. Catered country tune. Liberty Mutual, saving you bucks by protecting your truck. Cause Birdie told me to only pay for what I need. Thank you, Limu. I'll always trust a Limu with Liberty, Liberty, Liberty.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS like Mark?
I've been doing home remodeling for 30 plus years, but the economy crashed. I wound up losing my home, losing my job, and on top of that, owing the IRS a ton of money. I owed the IRS $114,000. It really, truly was the worst part of my life.
Then Mark found tax relief advocates.
On news radio, I heard about TRA, and I thought, what's the worst that could happen? So I picked up the phone and I called him. When it was all said and done, TRA settled my $114,000 debt for $100, and I'm telling you, I was ecstatic. Could not believe it. I would recommend TRA to anyone.
If you owe ten or even hundreds of thousands of dollars to the IRS, don't lose hope. Do what Mark did and call TRA for a consultation.
But TRA did. They gave me a second chance, and I'm forever grateful.
Visit TRA.com or call 800-491-9914. 800-491-9914. That's 800-491-9914.
Save big when you shop at Menards. Shop the largest in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and thick decking. All easy to load in our drive-through lumber yard. Plus, get free estimates using our easy-to-use deck design program. Available in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on AC2 pressure-treated lumber and thick decking at Menards. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When storms hit, your roof takes the brunt of the damage. Don't wait for leaks to ruin your home. At SkyChief Roofing and Solar, we specialize in storm damage repair and we'll help with your insurance claims. Call 316-285-5435. SkyChief Roofing and Solar, your roof, our priority.
This is the story of the one. As a procurement manager for a hospital system, she keeps every facility in her network stocked and ready. That's why she counts on Grainger to be her single source for thousands of products, from disinfectants to lighting, air filters, and more. And with fast, dependable delivery.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.